is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague, Henry Sikorski, the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center, watching plutonium, the most poisonous substance in the solar system to my knowledge. However, Henry, a very good evening to you. I learn from your guidance that plutonium is much on the minds of China, to begin with, South Korea, Britain, and there are other sovereign states thinking about it. The reason has to do with the fact that plutonium is a product in some fashion of nuclear power reactors, and the plutonium makes a bomb similar to the Nagasaki bomb of World War II, but much bigger. Right now, you tell me that the U.S. Energy Department is telling allies and adversaries, China being an adversary, that it is possible to make it difficult, if not likely, that you can extract plutonium from what is left in uranium reactors. Is that accurate, Henry? Good evening to you.
Good evening. It's great to be on your show again. Thank you. Roughly, yes. The proponents, which includes the people backing the Natrium reactor, which is Bill Gates, and the Oklo reactor, which is Mr. Ackerman, basically say, we think we can extract the plutonium but keep enough other nasty radionuclides that are in that spent reactor fuel hanging around that plutonium so that no one can make a bomb. But it still could be burned in what's called a fast reactor, which is different than the reactors we currently use. They don't use fast neutrons. The neutrons have thermal or slower energy levels. In any case, they want to begin the process of recycling spent reactor fuel to get this fuel for their fast reactors. And they basically say there isn't any proliferation threat. Well, they don't seem to read. We went through this drama about 15 to 20 years ago in the Bush and Obama administrations, because they thought the same thing. And studies were done both within the Energy Department and the National Labs and the National Academy of Sciences. And everyone came back and said, whoops, that's not true. You can use these processes to make perfectly good, even super weapons-grade plutonium if you're a nation state. And the, you know, what little protection it gives might be useful for some third-rank terrorists to protect against that, but not a nation. So they're ignoring that. And now we're offering to, you know, reopen conversations about letting the South Koreans do reprocessing. And, you know, as somebody who worked in the Pentagon to keep them away from that, and the, knowing of the history dating back a half century of efforts by the South Koreans to use the civil reprocessing card to get a bomb, you know, why don't you know, it's just as if you should just give them nuclear weapons outright, save the energy and the aggravation of going through the motions here. Meanwhile, you know, we complain vociferously and rightly that the Chinese are using reprocessing and recycling of plutonium from their fast reactors. We fear that they're going to expand their arsenal dramatically that way. It seems odd, you know. I mean, we pick our foes, and then we get the points right, and then when we go to our friends, we give up and say, "Well, it doesn't apply. Technology is different for them." It's not.
You guide me to know that the British are keen on plutonium being destroyed or not used. They are taking a position that says that this is a dangerous poison. Is that correct? And who else has that position?
Well, actually, a few countries. The British have been burned, literally. They had a plutonium fire at Sellafield, and they've lost their shirts trying to commercially recycle this stuff for commercial purposes at Thorpe. The Germans gave up. They had a program. It didn't make any economic sense. We gave it up in the 80s for some of the same reasons. We forgot that we gave it up. And we were arguing, oh, everything's different now. I think the Germans and the Brits not only have better memory, but they understand the science better than we do, apparently. Or at least their policymakers do.
Therefore, what we're watching here is plutonium being debated around the world. So let me come to the detail that we've been developing for some time. Plutonium is itself a bomb-making material. If you possess plutonium, does that mean you have a bomb or could have a bomb momentarily?
Pretty quickly. The bomb design that we used for the uranium bomb, the little boy, did not need to be tested. People say, oh, we need to test the plutonium bomb because it doesn't use a gun device, which is very simple. It involves an implosion device. The implosion design is now roughly, three quarters of a century old. It's made the rounds. I don't even think you need to test that. So the short answer is, yeah, I think so. I think, if you get the fuel, the bomb is not far, far away.
Does Saudi Arabia want to be able to make plutonium?
I think they're intent on enriching uranium and following in the footsteps of Iran. I don't put it past them to want to maybe eventually figure out some way to use spent fuel for that purpose, but they have not articulated that desire.
And
they have articulated the uranium enrichment desire, for sure.
And other countries, all countries, when the IAEA inspects, if they find possession of plutonium, is that country in violation of anything?
No. Separated plutonium can conceivably be used for a civil purpose as long as it's inspected. The argument is, well, we're done. The problem is you're so close to a bomb when you have that material separated. Just knowing that you've looked at it is not much protection of it being quickly diverted and turned into a bomb before you do anything to prevent it from being diverted. We do worry about and ought to. Will Poland, want to use its program for this purposes if it feels, quote unquote, abandoned? What about the Nordic countries? What about Japan? I mean, is Japan going to let South Korea get to the very edge of bomb making without going right behind it or ahead of it? I can't imagine. So, it is possible for things to move from stability of a sort where it's been around nine nations for quite a while to a larger number. And I don't think the people that are worried about deterrence and modernizing our nuclear arsenal and all that have given enough thought or public consideration to what that might mean for our own protection, assuming we want to do a Fortress America approach. How does that work?
Henry Sikorski is the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. I'm John Batchelor.